Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And starting in verse 20, let every man abide. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And then in verse 23, you are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. You're bought with a price. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. It's very important that a believer learns to abide. My ability to have a life with God is based on whether or not I will abide. There are believers who will abide in a call, and there are believers who will not. Both will go to heaven when they die. But both their life here on earth and then their eternity will be drastically different. Learn to abide. Abiding is that I live in it. When the apostle said, let every man abide in the calling in which he was called, he was saying, live in it. Cause your calling to become your life. Live in it. Cause your calling to become your life. I'm always a little bit concerned when I hear something like, God is an important part of my life, or church is an important part of my life. It's not a part, folks. It's the whole package. Anything else that is in your life is extra. But your life is abiding in the calling wherein you have been called. Learn to abide in it. You abide there with God. If you step out from your calling, you step out from the place and the provision that God has given you to know Him. Never step out from your calling. The calling is the most valuable thing a believer possesses. Never step out from your calling. If you are called to a specific church, make it your life. If you're called to a specific place, make it your life. If you're called to a specific pastor, make it your life. Whatever the nature of your call happens to be, make it your life. That means that when priorities have to be determined, my life is my priority. My life will always be my priority. I can't change that. That's just the way we are as people. But if my life is my call, then nothing will compete with my call, because nothing competes with my life. If my life is the definition that God has given me, then nothing will compete with that definition. It's my call. It's my life. When a person says it's very complicated, what they're saying is, I'm oriented to my old sin nature. Apart from the cross, everything is very complicated. After the cross, everything is really very simple. The believer who has a cross in their life has one option, not 10. 10 possibilities, perhaps, but only one option. Abide in the call wherein you have been called. What is it that God has called you to? Who is it that God has called you to? Where is it that God has called you to? Cause that to become your life. If that doesn't become your life, the only life you have is self-life. Self-life has been crucified. Now, I can reckon myself dead indeed, or I don't have to. But either way, self-life has been crucified. So if I do not abide in the calling, I abide in death. I abide in self-life. You see, the cross will always take me to the call. However, I cannot enter the call apart from the cross. Now, I could be called to be a pastor, get up in a pulpit and preach, and still not have entered the call. Because a pastor is not called just to speak. He's not there for a lecture or a recitation. He is there to speak what the Spirit says to the churches. That means before he speaks, the pastor is called to hear. So the call of a pastor is not so much the call of a speaker. The call of a pastor is that of a hearer. If the pastor, though, is a pastor who knows how to hear, and he abides in that through the cross, where he's not trying to present information through self-understanding, understanding by himself, through intellect. He's not preparing a lecture. If he is there, and he is prepared, not only is he prepared for the message, though, his life is prepared. You see, a pastor, when he prepares for a message, and this is how it works for all of us, we don't have to be pastors, I'm just using that as an example. A pastor, when he is prepared for a message, is prepared for spontaneity. What do I mean? The Holy Spirit has started moving. And as the Holy Spirit is moving, He'll turn whichever way the Holy Spirit moves. This is why we prepare. The one who doesn't prepare is still parked. And if he's parked, the Holy Spirit's not moving anything. In our lives, we prepare. In our lives, we get into the Word. Into fellowship. In our lives, we train ourselves how to abide in the calling wherein we've been called. And then, as we have been prepared, we are moving with the Holy Spirit. Not in emotionalism or how it feels, but in truth, in faithfulness. We become one with an organism. We take our place as a portion of that organism. And so we abide in the calling wherein we have been called. Folks, without abiding in the calling, on a practical level, I don't have a life with God. Many people get anxious. This happens a lot to young people, but it also happens to differently frequently, but sometimes the same to older people. Young people, don't be anxious about a relationship. Because whatever relationship God may give you, it's a call. That's why you don't do things like date. Because a relationship with a spouse is a call, first and foremost. It has nothing to do with butterflies. It's a call. Now, God will prepare your heart for the call, but it's still a call. You know what dating does? It teaches people how to inappropriately relate. In other words, somebody goes into a lot of dating, things happen, and then the next person, or even worse, their spouse, they relate to according to the experience that they had in what was in fact sin. And now sin becomes their frame of reference for the things of God. You don't do that. You know what happens to the believer who does that? They won't know how to have the life of what God gives. And so that believer must relate to the blood. It's the blood of Christ that actually allows me to abide in my calling. If I don't know how to appropriate the blood, I won't know how to stay in my call. And though physically I may not leave, I might not have the life of it. Do you know why God adds things or people to your life? To add life. How many people are in relationships, whether they be friendships or anything from friendships to marital relationships, or even associations at work? How many people have relationships, but those relationships are not life imparting, they're draining? As a matter of fact, that's one of the things Baltimore made up for pastors to help them counsel people thinking of being married. They made up for pastors a question list. And one of those was, does this person drain you? Or do they uplift you? When you're done with speaking to them or whatever interaction you may have had with them, are you drained? Or are you uplifted? The things that God gives, He doesn't give to drain. The things that God gives, He gives to lift you up. The only way you're going to receive that is by abiding in the calling wherein you have been called. Folks, learn to abide. The Word of God is not an option, it's a life. The ministry to which you are called is not an option, it's a life. The geographical location where God calls you to is not an option, it's a life. How do I know that? Well, it says that in verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 7. See, your life is not your own, you've been bought with a price. So abide with God in your call. Where is God found? In a practical way. In my call. Learn to live in a call. That's where you find your provisions. That does mean you don't have the option of being a Lone Ranger Christian. But then again, God didn't give you that option. Didn't He say, gather together much more as you see the day approaching? He didn't say, go out there on your own. He didn't say, put your foot in every pond. Test the waters. He said, abide. It didn't take me long to find out which church I was called to. You're not going to get me out of it. Why? I've learned to abide. Unfortunately, too often, we believers are kind of funny. We base everything on our preferences, our emotions, how it makes us feel. We base everything on our understanding or our ego. But we don't know how to abide. Show me someone who church hops, and I'll show you someone who doesn't know what they're doing with God. Because too many Christians church hop. So me someone who can tell me this is where I'm called. And I'll show you someone who doesn't know how to listen. Show me someone who says, I'm called, but I won't be there. And I'll show you someone who's living in rebellion. The Word of God says to abide. That's where you find Him. But I don't need the body. Cut off your thumb and see how well it does. Then you'll know whether or not you need the body. Folks, there's a call for a reason. The reason for the call is simple. That every joint might supply. I'm called to what I am called to because that is where my portion supplies. My foot does not choose to be a hand. If my foot tried to be my hand, it would be a very awkward way of living. I don't hear you with my mouth. And I don't walk on my ears. Yet this is what believers try to do sometimes. Because they don't know what it means to abide. Wherever you're called, whatever you're called to, make it your life. Because your life depends on it. Now the apostle told us that there is a day when we will meet God. And we will be evaluated for the things we have done in our bodies. If I learn to abide, then I have learned how to respond to God in faith response. And my evaluation will be rich. If I don't learn to abide, I'll still have great joy, but not near what I could have had. And I will suffer a great loss. There are believers who will get to heaven with great loss. The Bible says they will be saved, yet as by fire. There are believers who will experience great loss. Don't let you be one of them. Now, I don't know about you. And maybe you say to yourself, I don't do it for the rewards. But God said there's great rewards for a reason. If I say I don't do it for the rewards in heaven, maybe you don't. But you know what? Why did God bring it up then? If He didn't feel the rewards were of great value. Do you value what He values? If you value what He does not value, and if you do not value what He does value, then what's wrong with you? Abide. Learn to abide. Now, if the only reason that I'm going to abide is the Bema seat, it's better than not abiding. Better to abide because I know His heart. But if the only reason, it's like Jude said, yet some, right? On some there's compassion that makes a difference, but some are saved by fear. They're still saved. Some will abide because they know the heart of God. And some will abide because they're afraid of loss. But it's still better to abide. Learn to abide. Make the things of God your life, not a part of your life. Because if it's a part of your life, It's still you on the throne. And you simply pick and choose. But when the things of God, the call of God is your life, you're nowhere near the throne. Now, the benefit in that, if I'm on the throne, we're all in trouble. Because I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to take you with me. If you're on the throne, we're all in trouble. Because you're going to blow it, and you're going to take others with you. Learn to abide. Learn that your life was indeed bought, purchased with a price, and it belongs to God. He will allow you to have your free volition, but He's not going to reward you for not having faith response. Learn to abide. Do it like your life depends on it, because it does. Amen.